Papa, thank you for speaking to hearts this morning. Thank you. You know what we need to hear. You know right where we're at. So speak to people this morning. When our kids were little and both of my parents were still alive, there were times when we would load the kids into the car and we would drive down to Central Otago. For some of you, you will be realising immediately what that would look like. For us, it was 3 days of driving 6 to 8 hours a day. It was a couple of times we did it in 2 days, but that was really pushing it. But as you can imagine, three small girls sitting in the back seat of a car for 3 days, 6 to 8 hours every day. It was a bit of a challenge. And if you've travelled with young children, you know that there is one question that is banned in a car. Can anyone guess what that question is? Oh, you've got it right. That is one question that you don't ask when you're travelling on the road. Are we there yet? But I think even as grown-ups, we're asking that question. Are we there yet? God, what am I meant to be doing? Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Is this it? How much longer do I keep doing this? Did I miss you, God? Am I in the right place? Am I doing the right thing? What have you got for me, God? We've all got our different versions of, are we there yet? I think a lot of that comes from the concept that we have this vision to fulfill. We've got this destination to reach. And we're going to be talking about vision. Once we get past Easter, we're going to be talking about the whole area of vision. But before we do that, I wanted to just spend this Sunday talking a little bit about the journey. See, I believe that it's not just about the destination, but I think life is about both destinations and journeys. And when we were travelling with three small girls, one of the things that we had to make sure of was that we didn't just prepare for where we were going, but we prepared for getting there. And that the 3 days were well prepared. Otherwise, they were not pleasant days at all. I'm not surprised. So three small girls together, we needed that preparation for the journey. And I think many times we just think in terms of a destination. God, where am I going? So today, let's talk a little bit about not only destinations, but journeys. Because I believe God's got both for us. In fact, I believe it's part of his original intent. So let's go back. We're going to start by looking at Genesis 1, verse 27. See, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Sometimes I think we get the impression that God made us and said, okay, now just go do something. But I want you to notice that when he made us, he first of all made us to have our identity and our relationship with him. We are made in his image. Not in a monkey's image, not in anybody else's image. We are made in His image. And we're made to have relationship with Him. That's why it's said that God blessed them. That's a statement of relationship. God blessed them and God said to them. The Lord wants to have conversations with us. And we can read through the rest and go, okay, well, what does that look like? How do I do it? And I'll see God at the end of the trip. That's not how we're meant to live. We're meant to have that ongoing communication with Him. In fact, we see the same thing happen with Jesus when He called the disciples. Mark 1, verse 16 to 18 says, "And as He walked by the Sea of Galilee, He saw Simon, Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men.' They immediately left their nets and followed Him." Isn't it interesting that He said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men"? He didn't say, "Follow me and I'll make you builders of men." He could have said that if He was talking to carpenters. But He didn't. He was talking to fishermen. See, God knows how to talk our language. And He also has us many times in the place that we need to be before we even know that we're meant to be there. And some of us struggle with that. He said to them, first of all, "Follow me." Again, relationship. But then He gave them a picture that related to who they were. He didn't say that to Matthew. Matthew was a tax collector. But He used Matthew according to who Matthew was. The first gospel is written by Matthew. Matthew was a tax collector, which tells me that he was a guy who had an eye for detail. He was able to keep books and keep them well. And you can be sure that the Romans wanted the books kept well. The Romans wanted to know who was there, who was earning what money, and who should be paying what. Matthew was a guy with an eye for detail, was a guy who kept records. When you read through the book of Matthew, you will see time and time again where he speaks about what God said in the Old Testament. He's the one that gives us the detailed description for of what God promised in the Old Testament is fulfilled in Jesus. So God uses us according to how He made us. And for many of us, that's part of the struggle. Well, I just love cooking and hosting people and having people around. But could that be God? That's the challenge that a lot of people struggle with. Are the things that you do, that you love to do, and that are natural for you to do, just maybe that's part of what God's got for you? Oh yes, they left their nets. And God gives us the wisdom as to the parts we need to leave. But what I want to do today, as we start to think about Jesus' call on our life and what that looks like, it is number one, to journey with Him. But number two, it is also about where does He have us going? What does that look like? And what does it look like to journey with Him? So what we're going to do is start by looking at a principle. This is by Tony Stoltzfus, but I think it's very great. Very good, I mean. Ministry isn't something you do. It is something you are that comes out through what you do. Ministry isn't just something you do. Well, God wants me to do this, or God wants me to do that. No, ministry is who you are. You minister you, and you minister God in this amazing combination of you and God together. And if you're unsure of that, look at each of the Gospels. They're all the story of Jesus, but they're also the reflection of the one who wrote them. The Gospel of Mark is totally different from the Gospel of Matthew. Why? Because two different men wrote them. Ministry is something you are that comes out through what you do. To restrict vision to what we do is to miss the heart of our mission. So again, as we look at starting to talk about vision, and we'll spend several weeks talking about it, let's not forget the whole thing, that it's not just about where we are going, but it's the journey. It's journeying with God. So what we're going to do is you guys are going to help me with the message this morning, because I've got some people here that we're going to look at. And the first thing that we're going to look at is what they did, okay? Might be best if we identify who this person might be. Who does that look like a picture of? Yes, David. David being anointed while he was a shepherd boy. Okay, who can tell me some of the things that David did?
Wrote songs.
Yep. Looked after sheep, just start firing some things. Yeah, killed a bear. Yep, was with his hands. Yep, dealt with Goliath. What else did David do? Look after sheep. Yes, very subtly put. Well done, Julie. None of you have mentioned the fact that he became a king, right? Here he is, picture of him as a young shepherd boy being anointed to be king. It would be very easy for him to see his life as having one goal. I'm anointed to be king. It was a long time before he got there. But let me ask you this question. What is the legacy that David left behind that you and I enjoy? I heard two really good answers. I think there was three, but I couldn't hear the third one. We have his psalms. We have his songs. And I think you mentioned his devotion to God. His legacy that he left behind was his devotion. You and I receive of that. When you read the Psalms, you read of that man's devotion. In fact, Ray mentioned it while we were even having praise and worship here this morning, about David being very open and transparent in what he wrote. We read through that. We identify with it. Guess when he wrote most of his psalms? Before he became king. What if we thought of his life just in terms of him being a king? We would miss the legacy that he left in the earth. So even on his tombstone, well, it's not actually on his tombstone, it's the final comments about him, 2 Samuel 23:1. Now these are the last words of David. Thus says David, the son of Jesse, thus says the man raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel. That's how his life is summed up. That is the legacy that we receive of. Anointed to be king. But there is a legacy that he also had on the earth. It wasn't just about a destination. Let's have a look at this guy. Abraham. What can you tell me about Abraham? What did Abraham do? No, that, well, yes, you are right. Anybody else tell me about what Abraham did? What did he do? Okay, look at the picture. See if that helps you. Okay, oh, good. I've got some people thinking here this morning. Very good. He heard from God. He packed up his bags and he left. He left not knowing where he was going. That's what he did. And we can read the rest of the story that he did. He built altars and offered sacrifices. You've got Isaac in there. What is his legacy? You read Romans 4. Gives the legacy of this man. He did many things, but his legacy is that he's the father of faith. That through it all, he simply trusted God. He believed in a God he could not see. That is his legacy. Okay. Let me give you two words this morning because we've just been looking at legacy so far. Legacy is something that is passed on to future generations. But let's also look at the area of a life message. A life message is where God has deeply impacted someone's life and it flows out as a revelation and impartation to others. We've spoken about Abraham and David's legacy. But there is also a life message that they carried. And we're going to... Yeah, my time's getting away. So we're going to go on to the next guy. Who's this fella? Coat of many colours, it's Joseph. Joseph the dreamer. Now we could spend time looking at what he did. The Bible records a lot about what Joseph did and what others did to him. He was the dreamer, thrown into the pit, sold to Egypt, ended up in Potiphar's house, wrongly accused, ended up in prison, and then went from prison to being second in command in Egypt. That was what happened in his life. And it's a life none of us want to follow. But when he ends up second in command in Egypt, powerful man, this is when the message of his heart is given full expression. The Bible gives us a hint of what his life message was. Can anyone guess what it might be? Yes, that's what God used him to do. So that's what he did, but there was a message that he had on the inside. In fact, I believe that I heard it said. His message was, you meant it for evil, God meant it for good. And yes, he carries on to save a people. His message was one of forgiveness. If you struggle with unforgiveness, read the life of Joseph. And you have to recognize that as this guy travels through and he stays in the purposes of God, what he has to do again and again and again is he has to face things that are unjust, things that are cruel, things that are totally wrong. And out of those experiences, he ends up with a life message that says it doesn't matter what man does. God has a plan. And I can forgive man because I don't look to man, I look to God. That is what a life message looks like. See, sometimes our lives are not as sweet or as easy as we think they should be. And when we start to recognize that it's not just about reaching a destination and doing a particular job, but it's who we are becoming on the journey, that we start to realize that there is a message on the inside. See, our life message will come out regardless of whether we are sitting as a ruler or bound in a prison. When you know what your life message is, your circumstances don't dictate what that message is. What is on the inside dictates what your message is. And I believe God wants us to understand what our life message is. Because our life message is powerful when we understand what it is and we start to live according to our life message. Two more people, one on the throw up very quickly. Okay, the pretty lady, who's the pretty lady? Esther. Esther. What's her life message? Let me go with Diane's first. Born is for such a time as this. That was actually Mordecai, her uncle. And a lot of us, when we look at the life of Esther, that is what we think of. Who knows? But you were born for such a time as this. Her own life message is summed up in her statement, if I perish, I perish. It was the bravery that she had to stand up to injustice on behalf of her people. And that's why they ended up celebrating the Feast of Purim. It's to celebrate the life of Esther and her bravery in saving her people. Okay, the second guy. Yep, Daniel in the lion's den. That's towards the end of his life. I want you to think back over his life and think, what's his life message? He did at that time, yes. But have a wee think about what his life message was. Yes, he did. Ray says no compromise. Dreaming and hearing God's voice. You mentioned prayer. They're all tied together. If you look at Daniel 2, I don't think I've put it on yet. No, I haven't. In Daniel 2, he prays and he comes before Nebuchadnezzar and he says, there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets. He was a man of prayer, he was a man of principle, and he would not bow to anything else but to the Lord of heaven. Great. Many times a life message is connected to a name. I want you to stop and think for a moment. Do you know what your life message is? Don't try and call it out. Just have all you think. Let me give you some hints on how to know a life message. Life message comes out of shaping events. You see that in the life of Joseph. And sometimes those events are not pleasant. For some people it's, say, the death of a child or a fight with cancer. In the midst of it, there is a message that's formed in their life that they carry. Others, it's a divine encounters. You look at Paul on the road to Damascus. He had a divine encounter. It changed everything about his life. What was his life message? Anyone give me one word? Paul. It was grace. Then personal breakthrough. Somebody mentioned about David slaying the bear and the lion. His personal breakthrough was the basis of becoming a corporate breakthrough. And many times people, their life message comes out of their own personal breakthrough in an area. Maybe it's overcoming the stigma of divorce or something. And they have a message that's been formed out of that. Passion of the heart. The things we love, the things we don't love. When there is a passionate response, either positive or negative, it's usually because it's touching on a life message that you have. So I want to encourage you, take a couple of moments, write down what is your life message. And if your response is, I don't know, then I encourage you to start asking that of the Lord. Start looking at your life. Start looking at the different aspects of your life. Who is Jesus in you? I've got there for you. What aspect of Jesus do you reveal to others? Sometimes it's an aspect of Jesus that people are drawn to. You may find that people come to you because they're wanting wisdom. Maybe that's an aspect that is in your life. Or maybe people who battle with depression are always finding you out. What is your life message? See, when we know our life message, we can live that message regardless of where we're at or what we're doing. Because we are the message. I'm not going to have people read anything out, but who was able to write down something of what their life message is? Good, quite a few hands going up. If you weren't able to do that, again, I encourage you. Ask the Lord, what's my life message? What's my life been about? It's not just about a destination. It's about a journey. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that you call us to walk with you. Lord, not run ahead of you, but to walk with you. And I thank you for every person here this morning. Lord, that you want to walk with them and reveal to them who you've made them to be. Lord, I thank you for the message that is in the heart of every person here present. And I thank you that as we understand the message, and we understand who you've made us to be, Lord, that we can release that message wherever we are, whatever we're doing. We thank you for that, Lord. Amen. Alex, why don't you come and share the picture that you had this morning, and then Karen, I'll get you to share yours as well. I got people to get something prophetic for the meeting while they're out in the prayer meeting, so I'll get these two people to share.
I heard the word honour, and what I saw was a very regal ship gliding across the water. And you see, it was nearly at its destination, but it was just gliding. It was regal. And I'm not sure where I went from there, but this ship was something that was very, very together. The whole crew playing their part, everything was together. And it was almost there, gliding to the destination.
She mentioned the crew.
I did, yes. Everyone in their rightful place, so things didn't get out of kilter. Yeah, it was gliding beautifully. Oh, and the flag. Joy mentioned the ships have the flag of the destination flying at the top of the topmast, and I could see that as the ship was gliding in towards the destination.
I saw a picture of a father at a large park, and there was a big pond or whatever there with all his kids. And all his kids were like, you know how kids release boats on ponds sometimes? They've got these cool boats, and every child had a different boat, and they were releasing it. It was a release of these boats, and the father was just so delighted at each different child's boat. They were all different, but there was just like a release of each unique child's boat. Yeah.
Great. I really felt like the Lord was giving a couple of pictures there of our uniqueness and understanding our uniqueness. That yes, we're called to be like that boat, but we're also a crew on board ship. And a crew on board ship aren't all doing the same thing. There is the honour for each aspect that has been taken care of on board ship. And I believe as a church, and you know, Karen saw it again with that picture of the father with the children releasing boats. Every boat was different. You're so different from the person sitting next to you. You're not meant to be the same. You have something very special and very unique to release. And the more you understand who you are, who God's made you to be, and the message that you carry, the more Father's heart is delighted because you are able to release that and bless others.